All right, Andre, how you doing today?
Doing great. Hey, Ann.
How's everything going?
I'm doing well. Entering the Emerald City.
All right, are there any munchkins welcoming you in?
I haven't seen them yet, but I look forward to seeing them.
Okay. All right, well, that sounds great. Well, you're not far away from us right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. And the blanket truck is already here. What do you think about the weather today, Andre?
Absolutely beautiful. Not probably the most conducive to have people thinking about blankets, but it will get cold again. Last Friday when it was snowing, it was perfect to be giving out blankets.
Absolutely. Where were you? You were in Gaffney or something, weren't you?
I was at Gaffney, Union, Rock Hill, Greenville, Greer, Spartanburg.
Wow. You were all over the place that day.
Yeah.
Well, that's terrific. Now, you know, on your blanket program, one of the things that I found interesting is that, Duke Power and Walmart are helping provide these?
And Blue Cross and Bell South.
Wow. So that's quite a project.
Four great sponsors. All of them are bought in state. About 4,000 blankets this year. No public dollars, all private.
That's great. And, of course, then you've got to get the blankets out there and get them delivered around the state, too.
And that's what we're doing. We started out this morning in Oconee real early. Then we went to Seneca and Pickens and then Anderson. Now on our way to Greenwood and then McCormick and then North Augusta.
Wow, you have quite a tour.
I do.
Quite a tour. It's great that you're able to come out and do all this, Andre, and I know it's because you're so passionate about senior services.
I do. I love seniors. I was raised the first couple of years of my life. I'm a grandparent. They had a tremendous impact on me. And so I am very fortunate that the legislature saw fit 5 years ago to put aging in the lieutenant governor's office.
That's right. In fact, one of the things I know we want to talk about when you get here is some of those senior services, but also what's happening down there in Columbia. Are we going to have time to talk about that?
Sure. Well, we've been fighting, trying to keep that funding in there. It's $2.9 million. And so, there's a lot of needs, a lot of things out there. The legislature has to decide between: do you make our South Carolina roads safer? Do you fund in-home services? Do you continue to fund education? You know, do you continue to fund health care? They have a difficult job, and so when you see them, I always urge them to say, "Hey, look, this is a cost savings. It keeps people out of nursing home beds. It keeps people out of ERs, and that's a good thing." And so, if we can spend a few dollars on the front end to save a lot of money on the back end, I'm all for that. We've got too much of a giveaway mentality now, where we need to be looking at how can we change people's lives, but not how do we continue to perpetuate this bad behavior where people are having kids that can't afford them. We continue to encourage people that don't want to work not to work. Or, you know, this stimulus plan, I'm not in favor of at all, but we need to do things that actually do stimulate job growth and stimulate the economy.
It creates a dependency on our government, doesn't it?
No question. And there's more and more people jumping in the cart and less people pulling it.
That's pretty bad, Andre. That's pretty bad. Well, how close are you?
I am just a few minutes out.
A few minutes out. All right. Well, listen, how about we get a word from our sponsors, and then you should be here, and we'll sit down and talk. I got a lot of questions for you.
Great. I'll see y'all in just a few minutes.
All right. Sounds good.
Bye-bye.
Back to Meet Me at the Diner with the free blanket giveaway right now at Sharp Facets Gallery. Here's Ann Eller with more info.
That's right. If you're a senior out there in need of a blanket, even though it's almost 80 degrees out there today, you certainly can come by and get one, because what's going to happen next week or the week after? Who knows?
That's right. And they'll come in handy. They don't melt, you know. So.
No, they don't. And you can always use a blanket. And as Andre said, they got 4,000 blankets this year to give out. You know, condition, you just have to come and say, I would like a blanket, I need a blanket, and they will give you one.
That's free, and the truck is parked at Sharp Facets Gallery till what time today, Ann?
Probably a little after 1 there, Boogie, so they need to come on by on their lunch hour, or just come on by, and we'll be giving them out here.
Everyone knows Sharp Facets Gallery only carries the finest in jewelry. But did you know we offer the 3 R's? Repairs, replacement, and restoration. Repairs from sizing to stone replacement. Restoration of your treasured pieces to their former beauty. Or revamping or restyling by resetting your stones in new mountings. All repairs are done by our master goldsmith, Richard. Only Sharp Facets Gallery can provide you with both quick turnaround and professional, reliable reliable service. Come see us at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 bypass or call 229-6613.
Back to Meet Me at the Diner on 1350 WLMA with host Ann Eller, and the Lieutenant Governor, Andre Myers, has just arrived at the studio.
Yes, he has. He is right here in studio, sitting across from me right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. How are you doing, Andre? I guess you did make it here today.
I'm here. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you here.
Every time I come to Greenwood, it just seems like it's growing in leaps and bounds.
It is growing. We've got some unemployment problems, but it is growing, and we have so many people into volunteerism. It's just, with your project out there, we have so much going on for volunteerism here. It's good. We've got over there the United Center just has opened, and we have just put a new soup kitchen in there. The food bank is there. So many people need help right now.
And I'm kind of hungry. That soup sounded pretty good. I think I got a little bit of a cold.
Got a cold here. All right. Well, listen, it's good to have you here. Now, you came to give out blankets, even though it's almost 80 degrees outside.
Well, last Friday was snow. Now it's almost 80.
It's hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hard to believe that this is all going on. But you've been on a fast trip here today, going through the state.
I have. I started off in Oconee this morning, trying not to have to spend money on hotels. I stayed in Jim Miles' place up in Oconee last night, so I had a free place there. And then did Oconee, then Pickens, then Anderson, now Greenwood, then McCormick, then North Augusta. Quick, short, easy day.
Quick, short, easy day, right, exactly. Hey, by the way, I've got to ask you this question. Are you running for governor?
I am giving it serious consideration, but I think that we have a problem in this country where too many folks spend too much time campaigning when they are being paid to do their current job. I look back at all the presidential candidates. They spent time going across this great country, which is wonderful, but they were supposed to be doing their jobs. They were paid almost $200,000 a year to do their job, and they were out campaigning every day. They weren't representing the people. They weren't voting. With the multitude of problems we have right now and the multitude of answers we need and the starvation of leadership we need in Washington, they should have all either been there or foregone their pay. And so right now I'm supposed to be the lieutenant governor. It is a part-time job, but I figure if I make a decision by when we adjourn this year, we'll still be a year away from the primary, a year and a half away from the election. I think that is more than sufficient enough time. So I'm going to wait a while if I decide to do it. I'm leaning heavily towards doing it. Of course, I'm testing the waters and talking to, activists, and I'm talking to friends and praying about it and asking people if they'll donate money for a run. And I'm definitely leaning towards it. I've told everybody that's looking at running for lieutenant governor to go have fun, that I'm ready for a new challenge in my life. This is my 13th year at the Capitol, and whether it's in the public or private sector, I'm ready to do something different. I have, for the last 5 years, run aging. Before that, I started out as a young man. A lot of people say, well, Andre Bowers, was in the news for speed, and I say, it's amazing. You think any 26-year-old, I got elected, I ran at 26, from 26 to 39, all they've got is a guy speeding. So I say we all make mistakes, especially when you're in your 20s and 30s. And so I'm pretty proud of the years of service I've had. And, either I'm going to go run the state or I'm going to go run a business.
Okay. Well, Andre, you've made such great inroads for seniors. You've done so much for seniors. It's just amazing. One of the things we've been talking about, in fact, I was talking to Lou Dobbs last week. I actually was on the air with Lou Dobbs last week, is our FICA program. We think that the government ought to do away with the FICA for 6 months or a year. Let the businesses invest that money back in their country and all in their companies, and employees be able to have 7.5% back in their pockets immediately. I don't think we can wait 6 months or a year for some of these programs.
No, and as I look at the stimulus package, I don't see a whole lot of stimulus. I see a whole lot of pork. And it's disappointing because we continue to see a move towards socialism, whether it's socialized medicine, whether it's continuing to perpetuate people that can't have babies, their children having babies and their children having babies. I went to my high school reunion the other day and there were grandparents there.
That's kind of scary, isn't it?
Well, it's concerning.
Particularly when you look at yourself, right?
Well, because the very people that were grandparents couldn't afford to be grandparents. And no politician wants to step up and say, we got a problem here. And we continue to see a situation where you can give more and more away as a politician, and you garner more votes. And we got more and more people jumping in the wagon and less people pulling it. And if somebody doesn't step up before long, we are not going to have the country that our forefathers, we already don't have the country our forefathers intended, but we have got to change some things. To continue to say let's tax the rich, that sounds great. It's phenomenal. It sounds awesome. Except for rich create jobs, and they can always move those jobs across the sea. This is a global world we live in. It's very easy to move those jobs across the sea. And so when you de-incentivize taking risk, when you de-incentivize hiring more people, you're hurting the smallest people, the people that would be getting those jobs. And so we've got to do something in this state and in this country to make it so that people that build job creation want to. We have to incentivize it that there is a good upside. If you say, hey, the more money you make, we're going to continue throwing more and more taxes on you, that sounds great, except for those people say, you know what? Why should I take that risk anymore? Why should I work anymore? We want to incentivize ingenuity. We want to incentivize people that say, I'll take a gamble to put a new business here in Greenwood and employ people because there's a big upside. But if you continue to put fees and taxes on them, make it extremely difficult, nobody's going to do it.
That's right. That's right. You know, that's why we call it the Fiscal Investment for the Citizens Agency, FICA. Pretty interesting idea. I don't think it would ever happen, but it would be one that could happen immediately. That's the only thing that I think that could make a difference.
Name me something in government that's worked well. Whether you look at Social Security, we've created a false sense of security that people think, oh, Social Security is going to take care of me in retirement. It's not supposed to. It was a subsidy. Whether you look at the healthcare system's not, people, when people private paid for it, the cost was substantially less. Do you know there's actually things in healthcare that the cost have gone down? You know what they are?
No.
Sure, there are. Facelifts, tummy tucks, breast augmentation, all of them have gone down. You know why? Because you direct pay, and competition has driven the price down. Why? Why in that medical field has price gone down, but every other medical field where it's not direct pay, the price has gone out the roof?
Is it because the insurance companies control it?
Well, anytime you are not walking in and paying for a good or service, if the government were involved in the shoe business and you couldn't buy them from competition, shoes would cost more. They wouldn't last as long. Competition drives the market. The reason why American car companies are even as good as they are is because Japanese started building better cars, and they hadn't been able to compete. Well, why hadn't they been able to compete? Well, in the 70s and 80s, they were still making all these gas guzzlers where Honda was making cars that actually were more efficient. And so it's no fault, you know, we continue to want to say, well, let's help them, let's do, where's the new plan? What are they going to change to make their business model work this time if we do bail them out? You know, I hate to see American car companies fail, but what are they doing to turn it around?
I don't know. I haven't seen a plan. Have you?
I haven't, and I'm not here to criticize them, but I'm here to say we need to revamp what we really think the responsibilities of government are. There are some responsibilities, and there are some, even as a conservative, that we are negating right now. We don't spend enough on our roads and bridges in South Carolina. We have got some secondary roads in South Carolina that need addressing. If you're on them when they rain, they're standing water. We lose 3 people a day on average on South Carolina roads. We need to address this issue. We need to step up. We need to do something about it. But there are a lot of areas where we spend way too much money and shouldn't continue to pour money into these services that aren't government's responsibility. That's why I'm doing the blanket drive. In what element do you want me? You want me to talk about schools? You want me to talk, I mean, where?
I don't care.
Okay, in schools, why do we continue to pay an architect to build, to do a design every time we build a new school? Why not have 3 or 4 template drawings like Walmart does? Then police and fire have a blueprint of the facilities. They know exactly how many exits there are. So if you got to get kids out, police and fire know where they are. You know exactly what your fixed building cost is. There's no question. You build it over and over and over again. You have a small, medium, large template. Maybe you change the facade, but you know what your cost is. You cut out hundreds of thousands of cost in just architects. Pay the best architects to come up with the best plans. Why right out here on 385 do we only have one rest area in the entire state of South Carolina that's in the middle? How simple is that? We don't have to be really intelligent people. There's some real simple things. Get this. If I had my say-so, we wouldn't just build them in the middle. We'd build them bigger than we needed. Why? Because we would negate having expenses for rest areas. It would no longer be an expense for us. You know why?
Profit.
It would, because we'd lease the space out to Taco Bell, Burger King, McDonald's, Chick-fil-A. We'd make them pay the water bill. We'd make them pay the power bill. We'd make them pay rent to us. So that all the expenses that we now have going out to maintain that rest area, we wouldn't have those anymore, and we'd have revenue coming in. That's how government ought to operate.
Well, you know, they did that in New Jersey and all up and down in the Northeast where I'm from. That's always the way it was.
Well, I'm tired of hearing about how New Jersey does it. I want it to be South Carolina did it, and South Carolina's leading the nation. And, my God, they got great ideas in South Carolina, like we did on geriatric loan forgiveness. First state in the country to see an influx of a number of geriatric physicians. We went from 30 to 45, 50% increase.
Wow.
So much so that we saw six other states replicate our law. That's progressive government. The fact that we're below the national standards on ombudsman, we're now above the national standards. We have got a lot of great things. Let me tell you one thing South Carolinians should be proud of.
Yes, Andre, tell me one thing. Yes.
We are only one of four states operating in the black.
And isn't that because we are mandated to have a budget?
You got it.
It has to be balanced.
Balanced budget.
Yep.
And so we could be raiding trust accounts. You know, you can always play with the numbers, but we've cut. I personally am only paid part-time in South Carolina as lieutenant governor. I personally ask everybody in my office to furlough, mm-hmm. and I furloughed as well
wow.
on my part-time salary. We've been doing everything we could to not affect the services we provide and cut within our own agency. We gave up some office space. Anybody that's retired, we haven't rehired them. I have not in the last 2 years hired a director of aging to save money, and it's the highest paid office job that I have. And so 2 years ago, I didn't hire it. We carried forward last year $400,000+ that was given back to the general fund because we were trying to save our money.
Well, you know, I think, but businesses are having to do this. Look at how many businesses are cutting an employee or not hiring when somebody leaves that position.
Sure.
The same thing is happening in business right now.
I maintain several properties. I buy little homes, fix them up, and used to hire people to do a lot of things like the yard work. I'm now doing it on the weekends myself.
Yes, so you are actually taking a job that somebody else could do because...
No question, because I have to cut back.
Right.
I have rented my personal house out as of the middle of April, and I'm moving into a smaller condo to downsize because I don't know how bad the economy is going to get, so I'm trying to reduce my own expenditures. I'm in a smart car now.
You're in a smart car?
Mm-hmm.
All right, he's in a smart car here, folks. Hey, listen, we've had some questions. I think we're just going to keep talking, Boogie. Let's not take a break. We got so much going on here, it's hard to believe, and we only have him for a short time, I'm sure. But we had a call from Jim McNasey. He knows that he knows what you make. Does he work at anything else that has given him some business background? Lots of calls on this type of thing.
Do I do anything else in business?
Yes.
Sure. When I was in college, I started buying. Back then, you could buy assumable homes. I'd buy one, fix it up, rent it out to my fraternity's brothers, then I bought another one. So I got into rental business. I also had a company. If you walk in a Walmart today in anywhere in South Carolina or anywhere in the Southeast, the company's now called Bob Novelties. I sold the company then, but years ago, as an entrepreneur in college, I started making college products, and I'd sell them out at the ball games. Well, then I went to little mom-and-pop bookstores and car washes, and eventually I picked up Walmart, and I sold to them, and it was a
small mom-and-pop organization. There you go, Walmart.
So, I mean, I've sold to anybody from the little old independent sporting goods store to the flea market to the little bait and tackle shop to Walmart, and I've dealt with all of them, whether you've been at corporate offices out in Bentonville or the little Batten's bait shop right there out of Sumter County. All those people I directly went in and sold to. Then I boxed up the merchandise. Then I designed the product. Then I had to do the accounting. I mean, I did it all at one time. I ran a small business. And I still, to this day, am one of the few politicians that's still signing the front of paychecks because I'm still hiring people all the time to rehab the properties I have. I mean, that's how I make a living, is buying and selling little properties and fixing them up.
You know, a lot of people don't want to go into business anymore.
I don't blame them.
It's really sad. It's really sad. Yeah. I mean, and it's tough if you're in business like we are to stay in business with all the things that are happening here. What is the advice for small businesses, people?
Get involved in politics. I tell you something that just happened. In Georgetown County, they have now passed impact fees, $6,000. How many homes do you think they're going to build there? And with all the other restrictions, all the other costs, they now have $6,000 that they have to give in addition to everything else. We are doing everything government is doing so much to discourage entrepreneurship. The American dream is being taken away because government continues to erode somebody's ability to pay. For example, I turned on the water for a little rental condo I have in Charleston the other day, and it went from $40 in 1 month to $60. That's a tremendous 50% increase
exactly.
in 1 month. And while it only may be $20, those things add up. And eventually people like me say, you know what? It's not worth messing with anymore. I'll find something else to do with my money.
That's right. That's right. And a lot of people are. And I think that is a shame. A lot of companies are looking at moving overseas.
A lot of real estate investors are looking at Brazil right now.
That's scary.
Yeah, there's so many other areas where the return on their money is so much better, and the government doesn't make it so difficult to make a profit.
So we got to do something about that. We got another call, though, here. George Bowles, if big companies fail, someone will always buy the good parts and liquidate the rest, and the problem is solved. That's what he's saying, that, you know, you don't have to worry about these big companies because something always happens with them.
Yeah, there's still big companies that go under, and they don't always get bought out, but...
But
I don't believe in the government bailing them out anyway. It's not the government's job to bail these companies out. The free market will prevail as long as we continue to prop up companies. And I don't care how big of an icon they are in the United States. When you monkey with the system, my grandmother, and people will disagree with this, my grandmother told me as a child, she said, don't feed those stray cats. And I said, why? She said, because animals breed based on ample food supply. And you laugh if you want.
Right.
The problem is nobody, no politician wants to address this. As long as you continue to feed people and give them more, they will reproduce. And that's one of the big problems we have in this country. We have so many people that cannot financially take care of themselves, continually right. having more children, because they know the government's there to pick up the tab, and they get more money based on how many more kids they have. And so politicians don't want to offend anybody. The politically correct police are out. Nobody says, you know what? These people are irresponsible, and it is a crime that they should be having children they can't pay for and bringing more of them into the world when they can't take care of themselves, and then putting that responsibility on another person who may have to work not only their fair share of 40 hours but then go to work on Saturday and miss some opportunities with their children because they're supporting somebody else's kids.
I know. It is. And teenagers having children. This is the in thing to have children as a teenager. I can't understand it myself.
I can't understand it either, but it's disheartening because it is destroying this country.
That's right. It is destroying the country, and we do have too many children, and we don't know what to do with them, and then it puts all this much pressure on the system from schools and whatnot.
Well, there's a lot of parents, and they aren't really parents. They're just biological parents that dump their kids at the door of the school, and they say, take care of them. They want you to give them their discipline. They want you to take care of their feeding them. They want you to immunize them. They want you to give them their health care. They don't expect to be a parent. They're going to drop them off, and when you have a parent-teacher conference, I know I substitute taught for 4 years, never took a paycheck, because I wanted to come up as a politician with better answers to what we deal with in our public school system. Our teachers are frustrated. We're overburdening them with paperwork, and we're putting so much... So many parents are putting the burden of being a parent on these teachers.
Sure.
The kids are disrespectful. The teacher can't remove them. That's a problem. We need to address discipline in the public school. A teacher ought to have the full authority to remove a student. Then we as taxpayers should have an alternative school or somewhere else, charter school, for these kids to go to get a different type of education. That's why I'm going over to the John Della House School in just a little while to visit there, because that's a wonderful program that turns kids around that aren't getting it done in the standard environment. But when they aren't getting it done in the standard environment, they influence everybody else in the classroom. And so one class clown makes it so nobody else can focus. And so we've got to address these. But a teacher is on the front line, and she should be able to remove that student when he or she continues to see this disruptive behavior.
That's right. That's right. Hey, Boogie, let's...
And because there is not effort without error and shortcomings. But who does strive to do the deeds? Who knows the great enthusiasm? Who spends himself in a worthy cause? So in the end, his heart will never be with those cold, timid souls whose face is marred with dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again, because there is not effort without error and shortcomings. But who does strive to do the deeds? Who knows the great enthusiasm? Who spends himself in a worthy cause so that his heart will never be with those cold, timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. That's close to it. I may have missed a word in there. And then the other great quote, and I can't quote this one, but look it up. In 1905, he talked about immigration. He said, there's one flag in this country. There's one language in this country. We welcome all. But if you come to this country, learn our language, respect our flag, respect our values, and don't try to change it. This country was founded on Judeo-Christian values, and we have certain laws, regulations, and guidelines. And you're welcome to come here if you want to honor those. But don't come here expecting to change our country, because we came here, set it up to where it's fair to everybody, and we welcome all. And we're respectful of all, but don't try to make us have to learn a different language. Don't try to expect us to honor another flag in this country. These are simple things that the vast majority, the silent majority in the United States of America and in this state,
they believe
or wish somebody would say something about.
That's right. That's right. Why should all these things be in Spanish and Chinese and all these other languages?
And I'm not bashing them by any stretch of the imagination, but if I go to another country, I expect that I'm going to have some learning process, but I realize that I'm expected to respect their culture and their language. You know, when that kid went over there some years back, remember he went to like Thailand and he spray painted their building and they caned him? Well, good for them. They don't have people spray painting their buildings. You know why? Because the laws are tough and they enforce them. What kind of guy goes to somebody else's country and starts spray painting their buildings? He needed a little attention.
Yeah, he did.
My granddad says there's too much psychology in a public school, not enough Cy Hickory. I know exactly what he was talking about.
Yeah, you know, when you look back on it, how we were all raised, right?
Board of Education. Mr. Loholt used it on me more than one time. Wish did he use it a couple more times. I might be governor now instead of lieutenant governor.
Oh, Andre, I think you've got a lot of salt there to talk about and a lot of things to happen here. But what are some of the other things you'd like to get out there? You know, is it any new scams? One of the questions I was calling when I first talked to you, are there any new scams out there with the homeowners bailout program going on?
We can't keep up with creativity's crooks. These crooks are so brilliant, if they'd apply themselves, they might actually make some money. We keep seeing new scams. I think one of the things that I'm very, very proud of is the fact that we went online with the entire lieutenant governor's budget. You can see where we spend every dime. If I get reimbursed for so much as a hotel room, you're going to know where I stayed. You can see what kind of hotel I stayed at. If I don't take the pay, you can see that. You can see exactly how much money is left in each account. You know, I think it's appalling that you look in at the leading office in the state of South Carolina, there was $250,000 allocated for a veteran cemetery that was used to pay for security detail.
Okay, that is
possible. And it disappeared, and then when the legislature started asking questions, it was mysteriously found. Another agency, $5 million, disappeared over a few years. If people were looking at all our accounts online, they'd say, wait a minute, something's not measuring up. Something's wrong here. And so we've gone online now. We're proud of it. I want people to look and see where their money is being spent. It's their money. Government is not supposed to be this gigantic creature that nobody knows anything about it. Transparency is supposed to be there. I'm willing to take the critics if they say I spent the money inappropriately. I think I do a pretty good job of stretching that dollar as far as I can, but I'm willing to take criticism because somebody may come up with a very good idea on how to save some more dollars. And that's ultimately what government's supposed to be about. It's not supposed to be a lifelong career. That's why I've said, you know, I'm going to step. I'm going to step one way or the other, but I'm going to move on. I could probably run for lieutenant governor again and probably get elected. I would think I could. Maybe not, but I don't have a problem with moving on in life, and if things don't work out or I decide not to run, stepping right back into the private setting and trying to make a living. I want government to function well so I have the opportunity to attain the American dream.
Well, that is what we are talking about here, is the American dream, aren't we? People are supposed to be independent and supposed to be able to take care of themselves and their families.
That's my dream, but we've got some awful, wonderful speakers that have different dreams that talk about change and talk about how great the world can be, and those are all wonderful things. But you and I think differently about what a world is wonderful is than someone else, and there are plenty of people that think someone's very fortunate, and so I should be able to get some of their money. Somebody has been more blessed than I have, so I should be able to get some of their money. You know what motivates me more than anything? When I see successful people, when I see people that have done well, purchased a nice car, live in a nice home, dress well, those motivate me to say, you know what? I too can do that. How did they do it? I want to know more about it. I want to learn from them. They've already done it. It means the dream is alive and well, and anybody can do it. I've been given the tools and the skills through a wonderful education system we have in South Carolina. I'm not ashamed or embarrassed about the wonderful opportunities we have in South Carolina if you want to capitalize on them. And I did have loving parents, even though I came from a broken home, who pushed me to try to get an education. I didn't get as good as I could have because I didn't capitalize on all the opportunities, but I did capitalize on enough to get a good education. I'm very blessed. And so every time I see people, I see all these new buildings, I see so much going on in this community, I say, you know, that's great. People are achieving the American dream. And the more people that achieve the American dream, that trickles down into them hiring other people that can then work themselves up.
Exactly.
And I will say this, a lot of these immigrants that come over here, they have been successful because they are willing to do stuff that, quite frankly, lazy Americans have decided they don't want to do anymore.
You're right.
Because there's a government program sitting there to give them more for doing nothing than to get out and get off their duff. And so the whole reason I originally ran for politics is where they built a low-income housing project in my neighborhood. And I said, well, there's no mass transit system there. There's no way for these people to get to work. There's a pool there. They're on a golf course. Why do you build a low-income housing project with a pool and a golf course? Well, if these people get a job and go to sustain themselves, they would have to take a drastic lifestyle in living. I mean, where's the incentive? Where are we incentivizing bettering yourself? Instead of giving this money to people repeatedly year after year, we need to do something that says we're going to help you with child care, or we're going to help you with retooling or reskills, or help you with your education again, or we're going to do something to create making you more marketable so that someone would want to hire you. There's a lot of worth in providing for yourself where you have pride and you appreciate doing things. And when you continue, I mean, giving somebody a check every month is holding them back. It is not allowing them to reach their potential. And it is a terrible thing to say, oh, we're going to give you a little money. Now make sure you know who to support. And what it does, it ruins their life. They never see how it can be better. Well, they don't know. They're just taught this way, and they don't really realize there's a whole opportunity out there for them. But immigrants, the vast majority of them have said, you know what, this is a land opportunity. That's why we're having to build fences to keep people out of our great country, because everybody wants to come here. It's still the dream of the world is to live the American lifestyle. Chinese people, when they make money, you know what they do? They want to live like Westerners. They want Cadillacs. They want Chevys. They want American
BMWs.
Yeah, they want American. Actually, Cadillacs is what the Chinese want more than anything.
Really?
And they want Western clothes. They want Western appliances. That's what they want.
They want the new house. They want the new house, yes.
And so they want to emulate what we have going on here in the U.S. They want to watch American movies.
One of the things that I heard on the news this morning is that the road projects, that their fear is that more immigrants will work on the road projects than Americans. These road projects, the work projects that they're going to start, that immigrants will be working on these projects.
If they enforce the current laws on the books, they wouldn't. Problem is, we pick and choose. Well, I say we, the federal government, more than anybody, picks and choose what laws they want to enforce.
Right. Well, I just thought that was interesting, since this was supposed to be to help Americans, and these would be illegal immigrants that would end up working on the road projects. How can this be?
Look at who they're funding health care for. There's money in there for health care for funding illegals. You know,
right.
But people aren't standing up. They aren't calling Washington saying, you know what, I am fed up. I am tired. I'm going to kick those dopes out. Something's got to change.
Well, that's one of the things I wanted to ask you, Andre. What should people do? I mean, you talk about the silent, you know, all these silent people out there in the world. What should they do?
I hope they'll get vocal. I appreciate you giving me this forum. A long time ago, decided I wasn't going to continue to do what other politicians did and say stuff that, you know, I know this audience well enough to say stuff that would get me by without ruffling any feathers, but that's not why I ran. I ran to leave some type of substantial change in government. I was adamantly opposed to government. Government frustrated me. That's why I put bills in every year to put discipline back in the public school when I was a legislator. That's why I've ruled out every single tax increase that's been proposed in the South Carolina Senate, over $2 billion. That's why I had a ruling on same-sex marriage and banning it. I had a ruling on Catawba gambling. I have laid down the law, I think, and done what was sometimes controversial, but I thought it was part of being a leader. I'm a businessman at heart.
Not the popular.
I like politics, but I love business. To me, business is still my dream. Politics is in my blood, and I love people,
you
and
like
it's sales.
Jewelry? We have a jewelry store right here at Sharp Assets Gallery.
I'm in saving mode right now.
You're in the saving mode. Okay.
I am. But at some point in time, you know, one of these days I'm hoping I find a wife. God bless the woman that can put up with me. You know, I might have to come look for a ring.
Okay. Well, that would be okay, too. Hopefully we'll still be here, Andre.
Bless their heart if they could put up with me. Man, oh, man.
But, you know, the silent, you're talking about the silent people. And I just, the other day we actually talked to Gresham Barrett, and he was saying, call Nancy Pelosi, call these people, do something.
He's right.
Get vocal.
He's right. I'm glad he came out against this so-called stimulus package, too. I've seen our delegation has been in lockstep, and I appreciate that. Jim DeVent's been outspoken, and so I appreciate the fact that they didn't vote for this stimulus package, because it is not the direction this country needs to go in. There clearly are some things Washington could do. We've made it awful difficult. We made it so easy for people that had no business buying homes to buy homes, and now we've made it so difficult that nobody can get a loan. And if you can't make it so that small businesses can get a loan, if you can't make it so that people that can actually make the payments can get a loan without putting 30% down, if you don't fix the housing system, nothing will change.
You're right.
Because
you're absolutely
there's
right.
So many people directly affected by the housing market. Closing attorneys, surveyors, home inspectors, carpenters, termite people, moving companies. I mean, there's so many people directly affected by the housing market. They got to do something to change the housing market. And there's so many people like me that have cut back on everything. I sold a house last month. I cut a deal, and immediately what did I do with the money? I hoarded it.
Yeah, you didn't want to go out and spend it, did you?
I didn't spend it. I didn't think it used to be. Anytime I sold a house, I bought another one, a new project. I'm not buying anything now, other than I've been looking for a place in the upstate, something I can steal, some kind of foreclosure. I'm not buying anything because I am fearful of what the economy is going to do, and I'm holding on to any cash I have.
But see, that brings the economy right to a halt.
Sure it does.
And people are doing it left and right.
They are. And let me tell you, if you don't believe the government discourages good behavior, why do we give all the incentives to owe as much as you can on your home? The best tax break you got is to owe as much as you can on your home. You get to deduct all interest.
That's right.
The American Dream ought to, we ought to give incentives to people that pay their house off so that they get their house paid off. Then when they get older, if they've got to have to wait to pay for their health care, you go back and you attach their house.
Right.
You, if they've got to be put in a nursing home, you go back and attach the house. We ought to incentivize. I've been pushing for years to get people to buy long-term health care insurance. 2% of the current population in South Carolina have long-term health care insurance.
2%.
Yeah.
That's nothing.
Yeah. I've been pushing for years to say, let's give a tax incentive. Encourage people. Do something in government that creates good behavior. That's what you want to do in government. That's what the role of government is. Inspire people to want to make good decisions. And so we continue, I say again, to inspire people to make bad decisions, but we need to do things to inspire people to make better decisions.
We certainly should. Andre, it has been so good to have you here. Do you have anything else you'd like to tell us here today?
You know, I face difficult challenges every day. We know I've had my own fair challenges, and I think God really gave me the opportunity to learn what it's like to care for people that can't care for themselves. I had 4 months that I was basically an invalid, couldn't even walk, and then he allowed me to lose an election and take me to about the lowest point in my life, and I thought it was over, and I was going to move on with my life, and then 2 weeks later I came back and won, which nobody ever thought would happen. So I really think those were challenges he gave me to prepare me for other things in life. But I'd ask you to pray for me. I have to make difficult decisions every day, and there's some days that I look back and say, did I make the right decision? Because there's a lot of people affected by my decision. I pray for the president. In full disclosure, I didn't even vote for the individual. But he has got a tremendous amount of pressure on him. I wouldn't want that job for all the tea in China. And that individual has to decide where men and women, whether they'll lose their lives or how many troops we keep in other parts of the world. And so please pray for people in leadership, because they are making decisions every day that will not only affect us, but generations to come.
That's true. That's true. Andre Bauer, so nice of you to come, and I certainly hope you'll come back on the air and talk to me again.
I will. Thank you very much.
All right. This is WLMA 1350 AM, Greenwood and the Lakelands News Talk Radio. Thanks so much for being here today, Andre. Bye-bye, Boogie.
See ya.
Guys, y'all have a